Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff, in for Alan Shartok. It's an open forum edition today. Have you been frustrated by a politician lately? Maybe you're irritated with Governor Cuomo's treatment of teachers, or maybe you're upset over Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver's impending arraignment, which I think is happening in about an hour. Maybe Chris Christie's trips to Jordan, Peter Shumlin reneging on single-payer health care for Vermont. Politicians are no angels. We'll let you let it all hang out today. Let's talk trash about a politician of your choice. I'll let you do that. I don't want to talk trash about politicians, but this is your open forum today. We want to hear from you. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also get in touch with us online, these newfangled ways. You could tweet us at WAMCVoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can go to our website, WAMC.org/Vox Pop, and there's a spot to comment there. But give us a call. It makes me talk less. It's nice. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Yeah, you know, you got Sheldon Silver, former New York State Assembly Speaker. He'll be facing arraignment on bribery charges, I think, at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We recall this is not just a New York thing. We had former Massachusetts House Speaker Sal DeMasi. He was sentenced to 8 years back in 2011 for taking $65,000 in kickbacks. Politicians, no stranger to possible corruption. However, maybe it's not the corruption that bugs you. Maybe you just don't like their face or what they say or the way they talk. It's all fair game today. 1-800-348-2551. Pulled a Gallup poll, Congress and the public. And the question was, this is about a week or two ago. Do you approve or disapprove of the way Congress is handling its job? From February 8th, 20% of Americans approve. 75% disapprove. 5% no opinion. That's terrible. But guess what? It's a lot better than August of 2014, when 13% approved, 82% disapproved of Congress. Who's the least popular member of Congress? Well, going back a ways to August of 2014, when they were about at their low point, John Boehner, the most unpopular leader in Congress, according to the Washington Examiner, followed by Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. Boehner, an Ohio Republican, received an unfavorable rating of 60%, according to Rasmussen Reports, which conducted a telephone survey of 1,000 likely voters. Pelosi, a California Democrat, trailed Boehner with an unfavorable rating of 56%. Harry Reid came in third with 54. Of the four top party leaders, again, this is from the Washington Examiner, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell fared the best with an unfavorable rating of only 49%. There was another Gallup poll of trust in government, which I thought was very interesting. They said, how much of the time do you think you can trust government in Washington to do what is right? Just about always, most of the time, or only some of the time? And 81% of those surveyed, this was in 2014, I believe, said only some of the time or never. So clearly Americans, and those in the Northeast fall into this category as well, have very little trust in government, at least at the national level. Judicial branch does the best. 61% have a great deal or a fair amount of faith in the judicial branch. Legislative branch, 28% as of September of 2014. And the executive branch, 43% have a great deal or fair amount of trust in the government. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. You can get specific if there's one politician you don't like. We'll try to keep it civil. You know, these open forums, they can get out of hand. But I'll try to keep a control on it. Let's go to Beverly in Millbrook. Beverly, you're up.
Yeah, hi there. I have a big problem with something the governor did in November.
Which governor?
Governor Cuomo.
Okay, go ahead.
There was a bill that took over a decade to pass, and it passed both houses on the last day in June with only one no vote. So I would say that's just about unanimous support.
Okay.
It was support for veterans so that they could retire from state jobs just 1 to 3 years early by buying the time, giving the state 3% of their salary for every year. You know, the guy vetoed the thing the day before Veterans Day. Shows complete disrespect for any veteran.
Are you a veteran?
Yes, I am.
And so what was the governor's rationale? Remind us.
He said that it wasn't in the budget to do this, and he had no budget figures to begin with. What he did was he extrapolated from the New York City mayor's estimate, and he figured that's what it might cost him. So let's just veto it, and we'll have to draw it up again and do a new bill and figure if it might cost us something. Well, meantime, he has an aging workforce, people into their later 50s, that just want to retire a little bit early, give the job to a new person. He won't let them leave.
Well, presumably, if it has that much support in Albany, it'll probably come up again.
Yeah, well, but I'll already be done with my time. It was just a real disrespect for veterans. The guy's public service has all been white collar with, you know, no real work ethic, and a lot of the programs he proposes have a complete disrespect for all that came before them, including this ridiculous logo for the State of Opportunity. We don't need a new logo and a design spin on the state of New York. The people who work here know how to fix it.
Well, it's all about focus groups and marketing nowadays. Hey, Beverly, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Iris in Tynmouth, Vermont. You're on. Hello, Iris. Are you there? Let's hit the button again. Iris, are you there? No? Is somebody there?
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
My name is Iris.
Ah, then you are Iris. You're on the air.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I think that Giuliani is a clown for what he said about Obama not loving.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, but you said Giuliani is a clown for saying President Obama didn't love the country.
Yes. He's trying to point for the Republicans for the next election.
It seems.
And, I mean, no one is perfect, but Obama tries very hard, and he's handling a million balls up in the air. And to say he doesn't love the United States is just insanity.
It would seem to perhaps have been a political misplay, I would think, because of if anything, it's generating sympathy for the president from a wide range of even those on the right. So you may have something there, Iris.
I hope.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. It's a bad signal. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. We air the political grievances today on the program. It's an open forum. Ray in for Alan. Alan will be here. He'll be back. He has an appointment today. Ron in Hyde Park. Ron.
Yeah, I got a couple of things. First of all, the polls themselves, and second, the American voting public.
Yeah.
I mean, people have to realize that when they say they have disillusionment with the Congress, do you know what the return of incumbents is? It's something like over 80-something percent. So I don't know how people can start complaining about Congress when every time they go back to the polls, they send the same morons back to D.C.
Well, isn't that always the classic situation where they all stink except my guy?
Right. And so, you know, I don't place very much, you know, emphasis on the polls because it's just a photograph. You know, I'm in a bad mood. Yeah. Who really, when was the last time people said, yeah, Congress is doing a great job? You know,
well,
maybe the Continental Congress. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that, you know, the American people like to complain, and I understand that. But they have to understand that they're in control. It's not the morons in D.C. That if you have a problem, you know, maybe it is your guy. Maybe because he's getting a little pork back to your district or whatever. But in the overall view for the good of the country, maybe he's not the person that should be returned. I don't know. I'm just tired of people complaining about their congressman and their senator, and that these guys have terms for like 93 years, and they're never kicked out.
Well, you make a point. And there's another poll, and this is from a group called Transparency International, and I have no real knowledge of Transparency International, but this poll said 3 out of 4 Americans think political parties are corrupt. The percent who say institution is corrupt, and they listed political parties, legislature, business, health, police, judiciary. Political parties, 75% of those surveyed think political parties are corrupt, and yet, you know, the same two parties win most of the time.
Yes. And that's why I'm saying there's a dysfunction there. You know, I've got friends who are on both sides of the bench, you know, and they'll vehemently argue for why the Dems are right or the Republicans are right. Yet when push comes to shove, everybody talks about the dysfunction of the country as a whole. And so where is it coming from?
Who's your least favorite politician?
My least?
Yeah.
Probably Obama.
The Prez, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for the call. Hey, Ron, great call. I appreciate it very much. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. If you're just tuning in, it is usually Tuesdays are an open forum, and Alan hosts the show. He couldn't do it today. I'm Ray Graff. I'm in for Alan. And it's an airing of the political grievances today. whether it's politics in general, parties, people. We want to know what you think. It's time to trash things and institutions and people. 1-800-348-2551 is our number. We'll take a short break.
Support comes from College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years. CollegeStreetMotors.com. Upstate Divorce Mediation, specializing in helping couples who are seeking a legal separation or divorce, offices in Albany, Saratoga, and Catskill. UpstateDivorceMediation.com. The Whistling Kettle, featuring Tea of the Month clubs, Tea Discovery, Wellness Tea, Herbal and Caffeine-Free Tea, and more. TheWhistlingKettle.com for catalog and online ordering. And Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more. Where eyewear is an art. Facebook or VisionExcelEyeCare.com.
One 800 348 2551 is the telephone number. It's Vox Pop. It's Political Open Forum today. And, you know, am I the only one who thinks most politicians are actually well-meaning? Am I the only one? I actually do. I think most people who serve the country actually intend to do the right thing. Yes, there are a few bad apples, but that's not what it's all about. It's all about you today. Let's go to Mike in Poughkeepsie. Mike.
Yes, I'm just getting tired of them always arguing about having the minimum wage and every couple of years trying to raise it. Why don't they solve the problem by just fixing the minimum wage at a certain percentage of what our representatives make? That way, whenever they vote themselves a raise, they give everybody a raise, and this way we don't have these debates every few years.
Well, in New York State, the lawmakers haven't had a raise in quite some time. So then you would go 9, 10 or more years, right? That could be a double-edged sword.
Well, could be it, but I was thinking more on the federal level.
Mm. So you're all for a federal minimum wage then, tied to what the increases the lawmakers get.
Exactly. Set the minimum wage at a percentage of what the lawmakers make, and this way, no one can argue that it's a fair minimum wage across the board.
Okay. Well, Mike, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Let's go to Robin in Glens Falls. Robin, you're on.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I read in Daily Kos last week that every senator and congressman that voted in favor of the Keystone Pipeline received $250,000 from the petroleum industry. Those who voted against it got nothing.
Mm. Okay.
So, like, I don't know. It was probably one of their campaign chests, so it's... Is it a bribe or isn't it a bribe? To me, it's just totally unethical.
Okay. Hey, you want to name any names?
No, they didn't mention any names. They just said everyone who voted in favor of the pipeline got $250,000 from the petroleum industry.
Okay. Well, we'd have to vet that information. But, Robin, thank you very much. Let's go over to Ron in Albany. Ron, you're on.
Okay. Ray, the question I have is for folks is that when the House of Representatives, newly elected Republicans, show up down in Washington, they're required to sign a pledge by Grover Norquist, who is the financial wizard, apparently, of that party, that they will never vote to raise taxes. To me, that's giving away their right to vote before they even know why taxes might have to be raised, if you know what I mean.
Well, it didn't seem to work out too well for Bush 1. When he said, read my lips.
That's true. But, I mean, it's the point. The point is, don't we send our representatives down there to think for themselves and think for the best interests of their district and not to have to sign a pledge by somebody that they're never going to vote a certain direction?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's giving away their freedom to vote.
Yeah. I think you make a point.
Just one of those things. I know it's an aberration, but there you go.
How much trust do you have in government in Washington right now, Ron?
Oh, quite a bit. I think they try to do their best, but I think that there's an awful lot of obstructionism, and I think it's, frankly, I worry about the why of why they're so against Obama. It worries me that maybe, I don't want to raise the ugly word, but you know it's in the background, I think.
Well, Ron, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom in Schenectady. Tom, you're on.
Hey, Ray, great topic. And I just wanted to alert you. About a week ago in the Daily Gazette, there was an article about two local politicians, actually one city councilman and one, I believe, school board member, who evidently aren't paying their school taxes and or property taxes. And one of them actually expressed that she was surprised that the public would care about that. At least that's my recollection. I expected to see a lot of flashback in the editorial pages in the days since, but nothing really has come of it in terms of any discussion. To my way of thinking as a taxpayer in the city, I'm thinking that they should have their pay docked for the amount that they owe us, and I mean by us, the public taxpayers.
Well, I think if you don't pay your property taxes, you tend to lose your property. Isn't that how it usually works for most of us?
Well, he's paying them, but I think he's about a year and a half late, as I recall. Again, the details.
Well, people do get into trouble and usually work out some sort of a settlement where they pay it off. Hey, you're in Schenectady, so what do you think, speaking of politics, the sighting of the casino?
You know, I had mixed feelings on it. Certainly, it's currently an eyesore. I think we better make our money quick, and it's going to probably do what Atlantic City does eventually. I mean, it is a quick buck thing. Again, what else could they put in there? At least nothing's been brought up.
Well, I think Atlantic City became a victim of bad timing, in Vegas to some extent, overexpansion, and then a bad economy that hit at the same time.
Well, I do think you have to look at the landscape and recognize that there are a lot of venues out there that the gambling public can go to. And, you know, I think that they're going to get their piece, and it's going to be new. It's kind of like the malls, you know. But they'll have a short window, and I think by then, hopefully, I'm in Florida and I'm out of town.
All right, Tom, thanks a lot for the call.
Good show, Ray. Thanks.
Bye now. 1-800-348-2551. Tim in Boston Spa. Tim, you're on.
Yeah, just a few comments about our governor.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed with what he did with the Moreland Commission.
Now, specifically, you mean shutting it down?
Yeah.
What some say would be early?
Yes, okay. Very early.
All right.
And with potential of doing some good. Reapportionment. He said in his campaign that he was going to make reapportionment a happening, take it away from the legislature, but he didn't. And the SAFE Act, while it has some good points, was rammed through with no discussion, and some of its points are kind of ridiculous.
That's what I hear. I'm not a gun user or owner, but from what I've spoken to with gun owners, there are some parts of that they're just not practical.
Well, limiting a magazine to 5 rounds.
Yeah.
I mean, I have weapons that, one's got a 12-round magazine. It's a 22. It's ridiculous, and how are you going to enforce it? I suppose if somebody's in the midst of committing a crime and they're found to have a weapon with too many rounds in it, that might add on to the charges, but all it's going to do other than that is make people wonder if they're a criminal.
Well, I mean, if you shoot somebody, buddy, and you're caught, presumably you're going to do some hard time anyway.
I would hope so.
Well, Tim, thank you very much for the call. 1-800-348-2551. A couple of emails here. This one is from Kenner. I think if the Republicans cut off money for Homeland Security, they are anarchists, and the worst kind of anarchists at that, because they are anarchists pretending to be victims, all because they do not yet have absolute power. And this is from David. This was via Twitter. I wish the current Cuomo was like his father, Mario. It seems the people who are in charge are the ones most corrupt. And again, you can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop or call us 1-800-348-2551. This was Alan's idea. This was an airing of the political grievances. What's your beef with politics or politicians in general? 1-800-348-2551. I must say it's a fairly popular topic. Now let's go to Greg in Latham. Greg, you're on.
How you doing?
Hey.
This is kind of on the politics of the police state in town of Colony. It's repeatedly rated as one of the safest towns to live in the entire nation. And at times, it's kind of rejected as if it's up thanks to the police, you know, almost for controlling the animals that live there. And really, it's the fact that there's good, decent people there for whatever reason, and it's a safe town based on the citizens. And it seems to be in return, kind of the messed up part is that by default, police being there then have to, in return, make people who aren't criminals, and that's been proven, into criminals to kind of justify their job and to kind of obviously have something to do. And, you know, it just seems like maybe it would save the taxpayers money to cut back the police force if it's not as needed because the town is shown to be a safe place and not needed to be controlled in that manner. But there's just constantly, you know, police cruising around, and it would be great to see maybe that reduce the taxes, cut that back if it's not needed.
Well, I mean, to take the flip side, don't you think one of the reasons it's such a safe town is because the police are very visible in cruising around town?
No, I think the police are visible. I also visit, you know, much dangerous places in the local area. And there's police presence there, but it's still dangerous. I mean, absolutely there's police presence in those areas, and there's still problems. I think it just comes down to the fact that there's, you know, community-wide, it is a very safe place because of the interactions of the people, not by the hand of the police force. You know, I don't think more or less police presence would change at all how the community acts.
Well,
and it might be a way to save taxpayers' money.
Obviously,
look at volunteer firemen. They're not cruising around looking for a fire. They wait when there's a problem, and they come out, and they do their job. And I wonder if, you know, a police situation could be the same thing.
Well, I think if you had no police on the streets, you'd certainly see an uptick in some crime, don't you think?
It depends on my crime. I mean, is it a kid smoking a weed or a kid having a party, you know, in the woods? I mean, those kind of things are not big issues. I mean, so it might be a couple more kids, you know, drinking beers in the woods or something, but that's not, at the end of the day, the big problem, you know?
Okay. Hey, Greg, thank you very much for the call. Let's go over to Liz in Hyde Park. Liz, you're on.
Hi. I don't have anything super controversial to say.
Oh, good for you.
But, it's more I'm weary of negative commentary, and casting dispersions on local politicians and local boards. I work with municipal planning boards and municipal local legislative bodies, and I see the hours that these folks put in on a volunteer basis. Both in their meetings and reviewing materials and also educating themselves. And I would just say that most of what I see is people doing work of a very high degree of integrity and ethics. And so I'm weary of negative commentary about
people. I agree with you 1,000%. And again, this gets back to my comment that I truly believe that most people who are serving at whatever level are trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, and we're just hearing the bad news.
That's what the news is all about. I mean, it's not really exciting if the town board does great work for no pay and works for hours and hours and hours on a project. Not huge news, unfortunately.
But thank you for this Vox Pop.
Hey, Liz, thanks a lot for the call.
All right, take care.
Bye now. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. You see, optimism reigns for at least a moment in Hyde Park. Let's go to Lenny in Williamstown. Lenny.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
I'm kind of upset with this idea that the Republican Congress is going to hold up funding for the Homeland Security because Obama is passing this immigration bill.
You know, the smart money says that they will continue to fund DHS.
Yes, smart money. And smart money will do that. You're right. It will happen. But the idea of the politicians making a game out of this and threatening, and it gets a lot of people to think, well, not to think, because a lot of people do not think out there, that the Republicans, or one side is right and the other side is wrong, and yet the Republican Party, what they're trying to do is make a mess of what's going on and forcing people to say Obama is the problem.
You know, Lenny, I would take some exception to what you said, where you think most people out there don't think. I think politicians, the media, and many of the powers that be don't give the public enough credit for thinking. I think a lot of people are very smart, and I think a vast majority of people can see right through a lot of things.
Okay, so if this is true and the media is reporting this and the public is hearing this is what's going on, this is wrong, but meanwhile Reagan did the same thing. He gave an immigration passport. He gave people free passage into the country. Everyone disliked it. And I used to work with some sharecroppers out in the West. And those people worked damn hard, a lot harder than I worked.
All right.
You know, it's a shame. And when you say things like, not you, but when one party says against another, and if it's proven to be a crime, what they're saying is showing that whatever they say is not really true, but it's only in incitement. It causes incitement, and that is a crime, in my opinion. That's like saying treason.
Interesting.
Because it doesn't really get to the facts. It hurts the country to say stuff like Obama is not from the United States.
But again, most people see through that. I think that political people who get concerned about so-and-so spent so much on advertising and they don't take into the fact that the public is not completely stupid. Just because you see an ad and this politician spent $8 million on ads doesn't mean the public won't see through those.
Okay, so why is it allowed for the Citizens United to give so much money openly, and the Koch brothers and all the other people also for the Democrats? How could this be a Democratic situation when you could pour so much money in when you have so much money?
But if people just voted intelligently, it would be wasting money, regardless of how much money either side pumped in. If you are a intelligent voter and you are thinking about things, regardless of how much money, and this money goes for advertising and boots on the ground, but if you think about things and you do your own due diligence as a voter, it doesn't matter how much these people spend on either side.
I agree, but I'm just hoping more people do their due diligence.
Hey, Lenny.
And they get out there and think about what's going on.
Hey, man, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
You too. Take care.
Bye now. 1-800-348-25510. I've forgotten how much fun these open forums are. Jim in Monroe. Jim, you're on.
Hi. Good show. I would just like to say, as I voted for Obama, I've been a Democrat. My father was one of the organizers in Detroit when the union started.
Yeah.
Seen all the stuff going on. And it turns my stomach the way him and Cuomo have went back on some of their words, what they got elected to do. And
what words specifically?
Making the voting districts.
Okay, the redistricting, yep.
Yeah, that's the main claw on my space there. And their constant play on reducing gun, increasing gun control.
Mm-hmm.
Getting out of Gizmo there. And a few other things that I can't really come off the top of my head right now.
Okay, so you're bugged by politicians who don't follow through.
That's right. And one thing about that Lenny was talking about there is I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
It happens to me all the time.
I get so excited. You got me on a subject that I really blow up at.
Well, I know, and it's tough to keep your cool, and you've done a good job. I'll give you another 20 seconds if you want to try to remember what you were going to say.
Oh, okay.
No pressure.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm not kidding.
You're funny. Yeah, you should be a comedian, too.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they. That's what my wife says. Yeah, good for
you.
Oh,
yeah, well, wives always say that or something else.
Hey, Jim, we got to take a break here, but listen, I appreciate the call very much. And, what a fun open forum here on politics and irritations and politics. And we'll be back with the home stretch. 1-800-348-2551. Oh, the fun has just begun.
Support comes from Northshire Bookstore, Manchester, Vermont, presenting an off-the-shelf event with Eric Larson and his book Dead Wake, The Last Crossing of the Lusitania. Saturday, March 14th, 7 p.m., northshire.com. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond. skidmore.edu/tang. The Center for Extended Care on University Drive in Amherst, a family-owned and operated nursing center offering rehab, long-term care, and Alzheimer's specialty care. CECAA.com. And Autobahn Service, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, offering service, repair, and diagnosis of imports, specializing in late-model Volkswagen, Audi, and BMW. AutobahnTechnic.com.
Fox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. That's Room Full of Blues. Oh, that's nice. That's good bumper music. Who came up with that? Susie in Schenectady. Susie, you're on.
Hi, Ray. You are making me laugh so hard. Thank you so much. Thank you for this show, and thank you to WAMC and Alan for everything you do. I'm a public school teacher.
Yeah.
And I got out of school. I'm driving home on my hands-free. And I heard this show, and I thought, oh, my God, I have to call. I don't know if anybody's called about this yet.
No, you're the first, and I have a little synopsis of what your topic is. And I'm amazed that it took 40 minutes of the show for someone to bring this up.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead,
Susan. You know what? And that's part of what's really, really discouraging me, too, because Cuomo is holding our state funds for public education, which really is the cornerstone of our democracy, hostage until he bullies the lawmakers into giving him what he wants, which is basically making sure that those of us who are public school teachers are evaluated in a much more difficult way, which means to say that 50% of our score, our evaluation, will come from state standardized tests, the high stakes testing that everybody's been talking about.
Okay.
And that's really, really unfair because the teachers we need to really teach, and I used to teach in Albany, and it was really, really hard, right? Really, really, really hard, because those kids come from a socioeconomic status that is not as high, some of them, that is not as high as, say, like Niskayuna or Saratoga. And those kids are already at a huge disadvantage. And then we put these tests in front of them, and we say, okay, go to. And those little faces look up at you, and they're like, okay, I want to please you, and then they fail. And it's not because they're stupid, because they're not. And it's not because they're not trying, because they are. But it's because they have a lot of other challenges in their lives, like not enough food, or literally not a coat in winter. I used to keep coats in my closet in the wintertime for the kids who came to school without them. And now Cuomo is saying to us, you're not going to get the public funds that you need so desperately until you agree, and we're not going to agree, the teachers are never going to agree to this, until the lawmakers say, okay, fine, Cuomo, we'll agree to this, we will judge those teachers to the 50%, and it's completely unfair.
Okay, so you're a teacher, and I have many friends who are teachers, but let's get this on the air. Exactly. Why is basing it on test results a bad thing?
Well, because the playing field is not level. And the real issue is, well, there are a couple of things, but the real issue is poverty. And if you're a kid who is coming from poverty, meaning you don't, you know, if every kid came to school and was well-fed, well-dressed, had great medical care, parents who had jobs where they could come home and have enough time to sit with that kid and read to them every night, then it would be fine. And I would say, yay, great. But that's not the reality. And so you really cannot hold teachers across the board. I mean, children are not standardized. So to base their scores on these standardized exams and then to hold those teachers accountable when the playing field is unlevel, it's not fair.
Is it the score or is it the year-by-year improvement in score?
Well, it's the kids are supposed to make improvements.
Hmm.
But here's the thing about that standardized score. Right now, the way it is right now, and the union worked with Cuomo to get this, the way it works is that 60% of a public school teacher's score comes from their observation, which their principal does. And then the rest of it, 40%, 20% comes from the standardized state score, which is a stupid test right now because of the rollout of the Common Core and how botched that was by John King. But I won't go into that too much. And then the other 20% is local measures that we get to decide, and they're value added. And there are problems with that, but it's better than the state standardized. I don't see that state standardized score until the next year in September. It doesn't inform my teaching. It does not help me with that child. It is a waste of time and a waste of money.
So what do you do? I mean, this Common Core...
The value-added measures seem to me to be the most logical, even though, like I say, they're problematic, because if you're a special ed teacher or, you know, along that line, those are really difficult. But if you have the value-added and you test them at the beginning of the year, the middle of the year, and the end of the year, you can see the growth. And then also, as a teacher, you can look at that and go, okay, here's where they're making strides, and here's where I need to push more.
Mm.
That's helpful. That works.
Susie, I love your call.
Get rid of that.
I love your call. I'll ask you one question, and then I'm going to let you go. So
okay.
Philosophically, as a teacher, someone who gives a lot and works hard all the time, and that's basically every teacher I know. Philosophically, would you rather that the standards come from this Common Core, which came from a higher level than the state, or would you rather it come from the state, or would you rather it be local decisions on academics? And then we'll have to move along.
Yeah, I know. And thank you so much. And again, thank you so much for what WAMC does for teachers. I really appreciate it. The teachers are not anti-standards. We all want standards. The Common Core standards are not bad per se, but they were bad because no teachers were asked to give input. They were not vetted, and they were never field tested.
Mm.
So, I mean, local standards are fine. I don't mind national standards, but I think you have to backwards engineer it, and you have to begin it the way you want to end it.
And it certainly should be a work in progress, which I hope it is. Susie, we got to move it, but thanks so much for the call.
So much, Ray. Thank you.
Bye now. 1-800-348-2551. Jerry in Schenectady. Jerry, you're up.
Yes. Hi, Ray. Thanks. Let's keep this party going.
Okay.
I just one sentence to respond to about the previous caller there. I just want to say, because it's not what I was calling about, but if there weren't such a disparity in wages and salaries amongst jobs and such a high unemployment rate, there wouldn't be as much anxiety about the educational system is the way I think.
Explain. I mean, go further. Give me specifically what you mean by that.
Well, I think, you know, parents are so concerned about wanting to make sure their kids get a good job and don't have a bad job because there's such a disparity in the wages that jobs offer. And if a lot of the important jobs that are people earn a lot less, it's funny, the jobs that serve needs that people need, you know, the primary needs, they get paid less because I guess they're considered more essential. And a lot of the jobs that serve people's wants that a lot of times only rich, wealthy people can afford, they get paid so much because they're non-essential. And if they're, if you know, so if they if they weren't so concerned about how their child is going to do in the future. I mean, you know, they're
but every parent is concerned about that.
Yes, but part of the reason is because how you know how well they're going to be able to do in the future based on the salaries and the benefits that they get from these jobs. And if they were more equalized, not equal, but if the disparity was less, then there wouldn't be such anxiety about it.
Well, you take it from a different angle, Jerry. I appreciate that. Now you had another a topic to talk about.
Well, yeah. Let's see. You're probably not going to let me get away with three. So I'll respond to what you said.
You said
you believe most members in the government are well intended, and I would like to believe that. And a lot of times I do believe that, but then I remembered that I heard a story or read a story about a half a year ago. I don't remember the source. It said some corporations were giving bonuses to certain employees if they would leave the corporation and go work in government or run for a government position for a few years,
as they'd probably be
welcomed back with open arms after their government service was over. You know, the so-called revolving door.
Yeah.
But this time it would start. It starts with private corporations, then goes to government. I mean, why have lobbyists? Why pay lobbyists when you can get some of your own people in there?
Interesting.
And so maybe they're well-intended for the sake of the interests of the corporations that are sending them there.
Okay. Well, but I mean, maybe on the more local level, you're seeing more altruism. Could that be the case?
Well, it could be on an individual basis. In general, I don't know. I suppose so. Some of the people who have these particular interests for corporate interests do get some of the highest, you know, the higher level, government higher level government positions. So you know, I'd like to believe it, but I'm not sure I do in all cases.
I think most people are with you, Jerry. Thanks a lot for the call. Let's go on over to Sean in Poughkeepsie. Sean, you're up.
Hi. I wanted to agree with what the caller, two callers ago, just said about the education. And I mean, I am I'm 17 years old, and I'm tutoring these kids who are learning these Common Core standards, and some of the stuff doesn't make any sense to me, and it seems like something that was designed by someone who had never actually educated. My mother is actually an educator, and she has the same complaints as the previous caller. These standards weren't vetted or field tested, so how can they expect them to be successful? But that wasn't what I called about. About what you said before about how politicians are generally altruistic, I agree with that. But then I hear stuff about what just happened a couple days ago with the former mayor Giuliani and his commentary, and that just infuriates me. Like, how can you? I mean, don't get me wrong. I believe being the mayor of New York City is a hard job, but how can you comment on the man who has probably the hardest job in the world and say he doesn't love America?
Well, I think he. You know what? He's entitled to think, and theoretically, as a private citizen, he's entitled to say what he wants. I think he regrets it now. I think he knows he said something that was not a wise thing to say to any sitting president. And certainly politically not a wise move.
No, not at all. And believe me, I respect Mr. Giuliani for what he did, but I don't think that's the right message. Like, he is a man who had public office, and yes, he's now a private citizen, but people respect him. They respect his values and his beliefs. And it's just not right of you to I wouldn't want, like, for instance, I did not agree with George W. Bush and his presidency, but I would never say the man doesn't love America, because to be the president of America, which is probably one of the hardest jobs in the entire world, you have to love this country. I'm not the most patriotic person, but I don't think there's any argument. And it's indicative of an undercurrent where not just Republicans, but all politicians on both sides of the aisle claiming others aren't patriotic and don't love America just because they don't agree with their views. And that it's not something that should be tolerated.
Sean, you're 17, huh?
am 17.
Good job. You're a thoughtful young man. You're going to be a good voter. Well done. Let's go over to Joseph in Andover, Connecticut. Joseph, you're on.
Hi, Ray. I have a question for you.
Sure.
You were talking to a caller a little bit ago, and you said if you do due diligence, you can do intelligent voting.
Yes.
What would you consider due diligence? Because there's a lot of stuff out there, and everybody's pitching it.
Ah, that's a great point. And so now with the internet, you have to sift through a lot of, for the lack of a better term, crud. And frankly, you can only make your best judgment as to what is accurate and what is not. But you have to at least not take a commercial at face value on either side.
Okay. I thought maybe you had some kind of formula that you used.
You think I'd be here if I had a formula like that? No way, man.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551. Not that being here isn't fabulous. Don't get me wrong. Judith in Pioneer Valley. Judith, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Sure. I want to follow up on the last caller who was following up on a caller three callers ago. And I disagree with you that advertising doesn't affect people's opinions.
No, it does. It does. But it shouldn't as much. If you are a thoughtful voter, and there are not enough of us out there, and there should be more, but it certainly does.
Well, I think most voters think they are thoughtful. And the constant drumbeat of hate and fear against, you know, and negativity or... it affects people's voting. And it, even in a thoughtful voter, it can cloud the issue and the truth. And I think that that is one of the concerns about Citizens United, because you just put enough money behind something, and if you do the advertising right, your candidate will win.
It's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah,
because it implies that voters are dumb, and if voters play into it, then we have issues.
Well, we do have issues, because if you look at shows like Fox and Friends, who, you know, at least 60%, according to Politico fact, 60% of what they say is untruthful. And a lot of people watch that show, and, they admire the commentators, and they believe they're telling the truth because they're on television. You see it, you believe it.
Well, you see commentators on all sides doing that and spinning things in their own way. You can go to MSNBC and see things that maybe aren't as true as hard facts, but it's facts spun in a way. That's just the way all these networks operate.
Right, but if you watch Fox and Friends, what are the chances that you're going to watch MSNBC? You aren't. People watch shows that reinforce their beliefs, for the most part.
Well, again, I think that's being then a lazy voter. If you're not going to take a look at everything, then I guess Citizens United wins.
It does win.
Well, thanks for bringing me down, Judith.
I'm sorry, but it does win. It was one of the most important decisions the Supreme Court has ever made, and it's a tragedy.
Well, it's our fault. As voters, it's our fault if we're not smart enough to see past that. Let's get one more call in here. Kevin in Red Hook. Kevin, you got about 35, 40 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm a teacher, so that means probably 35 won't be enough. But
that's
I'll
right.
give it a shot.
Okay.
I am absolutely tired, as most people in my profession, with the public school teaching teachers being made the scapegoats by the governor and others who want to privatize education. The question of education and trying to bring up standards shouldn't be put just on the backs of teachers. We need to be looking at a whole lot of things, and chief of which the New York State doesn't want to deal with is how we fund education. Property taxes are a fair way to deal with it, and you have districts that are very wealthy, whether it be Rockland County, Westchester, the suburbs of Albany, who can afford very good education. And then you have your inner city districts like Poughkeepsie, where I grew up, and others where, you know, the demographics are different, and the way to excellence isn't the same. One size doesn't fit all.
Yeah, and we're going to have to leave it there, Kevin, but thank you so much for weighing in, and thanks to everybody. Alan's idea, once again, a smash hit. I'll never, ever doubt him again. Support comes from Kingsway Communities, Schenectady, New York, offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including assisted living and more. Caring in the family tradition, 518-393-8800. Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington, offering organic and local groceries, working to build a healthy and sustainable community, berkshire.coop. Curtis Lumber, specializing in kitchen design, featuring Cambria quartz countertops, Murillat cabinetry, and more. Designer consultations available, curtislumber.com. Thanks again to everybody who called in. Really great calls, great ideas. It's what the open forum is all about. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who has had occasionally a good idea himself. And your phones were answered by Dan Goldstein. Yeah, I've never worked with Dan, but he did a great job. Thanks to you for listening. Another show coming up tomorrow at 2:00.